And bind every spirit, Lord, that your spirit would be so free in this room to do whatever you want to do, whatever we'll let you do this morning. Because we're hungry for you, God. We're needy for you. We're desperate for you. So we just ask you, Lord, to remove any blocks, any mental blocks, emotional blocks, distractions, that we might just seek you this morning and find you in the fullness of your presence. Because we do want to know you, God, and to know you is to experience you. And that's what we want today, is to experience you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We're going to talk about my favorite chapter today, John 17. And knowing God, knowing God. To know God, eternal life is to know God. And I just had some revelations about what that means to know God. And it's really, really cool. Because, you know, we keep wanting these one-touch miracle things, you know. Well, I want to experience God, so I'm going to turn up my music and lay back in my chair and say, come pour yourself on me and take me into the heavenly experiences of spirituality today so I might experience you and know you. But that's one way to be touched by God. That's how we get touched by God. But there's other ways to know God. And to know God takes time. It takes experience. I met Harvey Hampton. I got exposed to him. I had a dose of him. I would have said I have experienced Harvey Hampton. Here he came into my life, long hair, smoking dope, dancing on tables, asking my mom, you want a boogie, mom? You know, he's just having, I would have said, I have known Harvey Hampton. I see who that is. But I had just met him. I had experienced him in a little way. Y'all experience him when he gets up here and preaches. But what we find out is he is not just this hyper ball that bounces off walls. But he's deeper than that. He has knowledge. He has wisdom. He has compassion. There's so much more to knowing who he is. I don't think any of us know him, including himself, the way God knows him. Because sometimes we would all agree that Harvey Hampton has been known to be harsh. But Harvey Hampton is not harsh. He's not. What he really is a mush. He's a gentle, baby-hearted mush. That's who he really is. And the enemy came along and said, people are going to step on you, mush boy. They're going to hurt you and crush you and use you because you're all delicate and tender. They're going to take advantage of that. You better toughen up. You better let them know who's boss. Because you know what? You're a little guy, and people are going to hurt you, walk over you. So you better show them they better not mess with you. The devil did that. So we didn't even get to see the real Harvey until God got a hold of him and started rebuking that out of him and letting him dare to show us that gentleman that he really is. So how do we think that we can come to church once in a while, put on some worship music, and say, oh, God, I want to experience you today. And then we go home and have nothing to do with him. We're meeting him. We're getting a touch of God. But if we want to know him intimately, we have got to see him in everyday life, what he thinks, what he feels, how he moves, what he does. But he's not going to share that with you unless you choose to walk with him. His way. You can't force him into walking your way because he won't go there. I keep coughing and losing my voice. Yeah, I guess so. So what we're going to, for the message on the internet, Cecil, it is experiencing God. John 17:3 says, this is eternal life. To know God. To know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's eternal life. Eternal life, life is something that continues to go on. Life isn't something you can't say, wow, I lived today. I have to live today and tomorrow. And if I'm alive, I keep living. It's a continual thing. Eternal life is a continual existence of vibrancy. It's the opposite of stopping and dying. So to know God is to know Him in a continual, vibrant expression of who He is, eternally, from now on forever. We don't do that. You see, we have that law of sin and death pulling us to die. And then we have the law of the life of Christ within us trying to give us life. But we keep choosing carnality and death. But to know God is to choose and experience continual life, eternal life, eternally in heaven, walking in the life of God and who He is. Because if you walk in the flesh of sin and death, you die. So God, Jesus, has come and He is life and He wants to give us life and life more abundantly. But if we choose death, we die. That's why you sin, you die. You love, you live. God is love. So every time we choose carnality, we kill ourselves. It's like drinking poison, slow poison. And every time we drink of the Spirit, we drink the antidote and gain some life. What is our purpose? Stop poisoning ourselves, right? John 14. If you love me, keep my commandments. I didn't even open my Bible because a lot of times I write the scriptures out because I'm so slow finding everything. But let's go to John. A lot of what we're doing is John. So just let's get in John. Go to John 14 right now. John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees Him not, neither knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be in you. In you. Now, first he started with, if you love me, keep my commandments. Obedience is a proof of love. I'm going to give you I see how many points this is. You write down these points if you want, because here's the outline. Number one, truth. You want to know God? You want to experience God. Number one, it's going to take truth. Number two, obedience. Number three, a motive. You must have a motive. And number four, results. That's our outline today. Obedience, truth, motive, results. Results. The results are you're going to overcome the world. The results are Christ in you is going to overcome sin and death in you. Life is going to win. That's your result. Now let's see how to get there. If you love me, if you love me, do you love him? And what's his commandment? Love him. If you love me, I command you to love me and to love one another and to love yourself. See, God is all about love. What is the devil all about? Hate, death, destruction, don't trust, don't share, don't give, be greedy, worry, fret. Everything, fear, is the opposite of God. Who do you want to experience? Oh, I'm just going to worry. I'm just going to be fearful. I'm not going to trust you. I'm not going to give. I need what I have. And all these things are death. It's death. What? I know I should wear shirts with something in the middle. People are talking to that. I don't own those shirts. If you love me, and if you love others, and love yourself. If you're willing and you want to live in the love of God, then He will give you the Holy Spirit so you can do it. Because you can't do it. You can't do it. But if you want to do it, if you choose to do it, He will come and live inside of you and He will do it. He will do it. Now, as He does it, He rises up in you. And when you let him do that, you experience God. You experience God. He moves through your heart with his heart, and you are standing there amazed at how you love someone you didn't like 5 minutes ago. You're experiencing God. He's loving them with his love, and you're experiencing his love in your heart. You're becoming one with him. You're becoming one with him. You want to experience God, you have to release God. If you stifle him up down there in your spirit and try to hog him up to yourself, you don't experience him. He has to flow through you for you to experience him. That's how you know God, as you allow him to live in you and through you. God, my brain is messed up. My thoughts are wrong. I do not see truth. I need truth to think like you, to have my mind converted into yours, transformed. I need truth to set me free from the belief systems and the lies that have got me locked up where I can't know truth. So come and give me truth. Where's the truth? In his word, living word, full of the flow and experience of God. Bringing that truth into your mind, powerfully alive, to transform your thinking. And you go, I got it. Wow, I see it. Open thou my understanding. Open my understanding to the scriptures. Jesus came to the disciples and it said, and then opened he their understanding to the scriptures. Wow, that's what I want, truth, that opens my understanding. If I don't have the faith for something, faith comes by reading the word, because while I'm reading the word, the living Holy Spirit of God flows into my brain and gives me a quickened, living understanding. So what do I need to change? Whatever I need to change, get word on it. Get word on it. I carry around some revelations God gives me, but I don't own them. I know death is going to be defeated, and it's going to be defeated through the power of forgiveness one to another. I begin to understand it. I just begin. And then I get more understanding and more understanding, and I go, I got it, I got it, I got it. Why am I still dying? I got the key. I learned how to put the key in the door, but I didn't learn how to turn it yet. I need some more truth about this. Death is going to be defeated by the power of forgiveness. I need to get in the word. What about this truth? This truth. I need this truth. I'm going to read, and I'm going to read, and I'm going to read, and I'm going to read. And the more I read, the more life comes into my brain. All of a sudden, the door just turns. The key just turns. We just walk right into that thing and own it. Faith comes by hearing the word. It's alive. We experience him as we read it. What are you struggling with? Whatever it is, get in the word on it. Get in the word with faith. All the faith is to say, God, I believe it's alive, and I believe you're going to show me, so I'm going in there and let you do it. Faith is not a work. Faith is not a work. Faith is a choice. Isn't it funny, all the things we think we can't do? But I can't love. No, you can't. It's a choice to let him love through you. But I can't forgive. I've tried. No, you can't. It's a choice to let him do it through you. It's a legal choice. I choose to forgive. I choose to repent. The change is up to him. I'm studying it, but I can't get it. No, you can't. It's a choice. I'm going to read. He's going to tell me.
Right.
I'm going to read. He's going to prove it. And he will. Just keep reading. Read until he does. Get so hungry for something. You got a problem in your life? Then get in the word about it until you do get the deliverance on that problem. Specific reading. Purposeful reading. Claimful reading. Claim the word. Claim it. He said, that's why I love John 17. He's praying for me and you. He said, I'm not just praying for you guys here today that hear my voice. I'm praying for everybody who's going to believe on me. I'm an everybody who's believing on him. This is my prayer personally that Jesus prayed for me. So I get to go in there and claim it. I get to go in there, and I've been going in there saying, Jesus, you said that you wanted me to be one with you, filled up with you the same way you're filled up with the Father. I want that too. Come and do it. Jesus, you said you're going to teach me everything through this Holy Ghost that you put in me. You're going to, through him, teach me what I need to remember. You said you would give me your peace. I am reading this. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, not that kind of peace. So don't let your heart be troubled, and don't let it be afraid. Okay, Jesus, you just said you're giving me your peace. Give it to me. Fill me with that peace. I want it. Pray the scripture into yourself. Claim it. Claim it. That wasn't even in the notes, so we haven't even started. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it doesn't see him, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you. Do you know him? Knowing God is eternal life, not saying a prayer, not on this date I said a prayer, knowing God is eternal life. Do you know him? Have you met him? Have you experienced him? Are you experiencing him and knowing him? Through the truth, you will get to know God because you will understand the lies that you've believed about him, that he's just this great big mean God waiting to squish every offender. That's a lie. We have lived in darkness and deception, and we need those deceptions and those darknesses to come into the light. John 1:5 says that the light shines in the darkness, and the dark, 1 John 1:5. The light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness did not understand the light. What? That was John. All right. John, not 1 John. Just John. Darkness is gloom, evil, sin, obscurity, blindness, ignorance, immorality, moral depravity, lack of spiritual perception. Can't see it. I don't get it. It's earthly and demonic. And in John 3:16, Jesus came Jesus came to rescue us from the darkness. I think it's 16, because in 19 it says, but this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness. Men loved darkness rather than light. 3:19. That is 19. 3:19. Because their deeds were evil. Because their deeds were evil, and they loved that darkness. What is it that you love so much that you don't want his light to shine in there? Because what we love because we're ignorant. We love it because we're blind. We love it because we're deceived. If we knew the truth about that thing, we wouldn't love it anymore. We would despise, turn away, God's version of hate. I would reject it and turn away from it and have nothing to do with it if I saw it in the true light. So why accept your own destruction? I've heard people say, I would if I don't have to give up this. I would accept this relationship I'm in. God doesn't like it. I'm sure he wouldn't like it, and he'd make me break up. If God would make you break up, it's because it's not good for you.
Right.
Oh, but I like what's not good for me. Darkness is ignorance. Why do we like what's not good for us? Why do we hold on what's going to kill us and harm us and hurt us? And ignorance, darkness, get some light. Because their deeds were evil. Everyone that practices evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. He that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, revealed, that they are wrought in God. This is all under the heading of truth. If you want to know God, you must seek truth. You must love truth. You must want truth. You must want your own freedom from darkness. Our sins have got to be manifest, revealed. Manifest means revealed. Back when John was saying, if you love me and you keep my commandments, if you do this, I will come and manifest myself to you. The Father and I will come and manifest ourselves to you. Do you know him as Savior? Have you experienced him at the cross, taking your sin and your death and your payment? Do you know him as Father, who has fathered you and loved you and put confidence in you and told you who you are? Your daddy and your mama, they ought to be looking in your eyes when you're a child and saying, son, I see who you are. I believe in you. Here, oh, man, God has got such a purpose for you here. They're believing in you with their eyes. Have you been in the daddy's eyes and experienced him fathering you, mothering you, parenting you, preparing you so that you don't get married still looking for daddy and mommy, so you don't go out in the world trying to find what you should have got from mommy and daddy? Have you spent some time experiencing the Father and the mother heart of God? And there was Jesus. He saved you. This is such a picture. He saved you from your sin. He paid for it with his blood. And then he carries you over here to daddy. And he says, daddy, I got a newborn here for you. Would you raise him? Because I want this one to be my bride. But she's not ready. So would you father her and mother her? And I'll just step over here and wait until she's ready for me. Get her ready. Now you get to go through this time with the Father where he gets you ready. And Jesus is over there going, is she ready yet? Can she come to me yet? Is she ready yet? We're not totally ready yet. But we begin to see that. We come into the engagement period and we see, whoa, I only saw him as my Savior, but now I see him as my life mate. Now I see my eternal purpose. What is this life? I was born to be married with Christ. God in heaven said, my son, I want to birth something through the womb of my son. We are the womb of his son. When we are made one with Christ, we are his birthing station. Now he comes with us. We come with him. And we go, I want to have your baby. And he goes, I have a baby I want you to have. My love being birthed to this world.
Yes.
For now. But in all eternal, it's an eternal purpose. When we come in that marriage supper with the Lamb from that day forward, God is going to birth things in eternity beyond our imagination.
Yes.
That's our purpose. But right now, we must gather his bride. We got to love one another because it takes all of us to make that bride. Have you experienced this Holy Spirit? Has he dared to take you into the deepest, intimate chambers of his own delicate nature where he gets hurt, where we break his heart, where others break his heart, where the weeping goes on, where God dares to share with you his own grief? That delicate, tender, I know Harvey that way. He dares to share that with me. He doesn't dare to share it with everyone. He's beginning to. God wants to share that delicate part. But see, this is knowing him. This is experiencing him. This is living with him, letting him live in you. This is knowing him. And it takes truth to come to that place. The truth must reveal. John 12:46. Whoever believes on me should not continue in darkness. If you believe on him, you trust him, you're depending on him, you're hungering for him, you cannot continue in your blindness and darkness. You have to invite the light. Any place in us that is still in agreement with darkness cannot experience knowing God, a revelation of God. First comes the truth that must invade that very lie, expel it, evict it, and the stronghold will come down. We are full of strongholds, and strongholds are entire belief systems, lifestyles, automatic reactions, defenses, situations, stereotypes, hiding places, safeguards, opinions, attitudes. And these are walls that are full of bricks, full of emotions, full of thoughts, decisions, and choices. That's what we are when we come to Him. And these walls must invite and agree with truth, the searchlight that will bring truth, that will take them down one brick at a time, one brick at a time. But it's like when we came to Grand Rapids, God showed us, whoa, Grand Rapids, there is this wall of religion, and it's built out of religious bricks. Just, oh, wow, thick bricks, big bricks, strong bricks. And God said, what is the name of your city? Grand Rapids. He said, and I'm sending the rapids. And they will beat and beat and beat and beat till a brick falls out. And then they'll go after another brick and beat it and beat it and beat it till the brick falls out. As the first few bricks, they come out hard. But the more bricks that begin to come out, suddenly there's not very many bricks left. And that grand rapid of the water and the cleansing and washing of God just demolishes the whole wall. Every belief system in us is built on bricks. And truth will knock out a brick. And another truth will knock out another brick.
Right.
Until the wall falls and the rapids of God can flood into that area of your life and own it.
Right.
And Scripture will bring that truth.
Right.
When He brings the truth through the Word, John 1, Jesus is the Word. He is the life. He is the resurrection. His quickening life brings life to a dead area in you that has been dead in sin and darkness. And He resurrects it. Jesus is the truth. That means He comes through the written Word. It means He comes through the Holy Spirit within you and within others for you. All these truths. Number two, when He brings the truth, you must obey it. You must surrender to that truth and obey that truth. John 14, 6 through 14. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. From henceforth you know him and you have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will satisfy us. Will suffice us. Jesus said, have I been with you so long a time, and you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say, show us the Father? Do you believe not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Truly, truly, I say to you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. This leads right up to, if you love me, I will send the Comforter. I will not leave you comfortless. John 17, the same way that the Father lived in Jesus. Now he's standing before men and saying, I laid down my godhood. I laid down all my privileges as God and chose to live in a body, in a flesh, as an unattractive, uncomely, unseemly, undesirable man. I didn't use any fleshly pull of charm, wisdom of words, well, I got a good personality, and I'm handsome, and I can get a following. No, he came homely, comely, simple. He's probably short, probably fat, because they called him a glutton, right? He didn't have anything in the flesh to attract people. What he had was God within, and he lived the same way we do and can and should. He said the same way. I do what the Father in me says to do. He experienced only letting the Father flow through him and do the works. He said, you're going to do greater works because there's more of you. And because I am going to come and live in you. The same way the Father lived in me. And you're going to let me do the works. You're going to let God do it through you. Exactly the same way Jesus did. How is anybody going to meet God except they meet him through you? How are you going to experience knowing God except he lives through you? Jesus said, the words I speak to you are not my words. What I hear the Father speak, that's what I'm speaking. Did we ever dare to think Jesus might have had a different thought than his Father? He said, the words I speak are not mine, but his. That means Jesus had a thought. He's in the body. He had tempted in every way like us. He had a thought. And he said no to his thought. What do you want to say, Father? I'm going to say what the Father said. Same way we have to live. John 17 is our victory. It's not that God came in a body and used his God power to do this. He came in a body, made himself flesh to do it the same way we have to do it. Releasing God within. Same choices. He just chose right every time. We have a choice every time. How many times do we choose the right spirit? The obedience. You want to know God. It takes truth. And then it takes obedience. Steve offends me. Steve comes in my house and he opens my refrigerator and says, oh, wow, look at that. There's some leftovers, and he gets them out, and he warms them up, and he eats them, and I come home, and I go, that was my dinner. You ate my dinner. Who said you could come get in my refrigerator and eat my dinner? Who gave you that right? I'm offended. What do I do? These are the thoughts that are going on inside of me. Now, I back up like Jesus and say, wow, he ate my dinner. Now, what am I going to eat? What am I going to do? Father, I'm going to be a tattletale, that's what. Daddy, he ate my dinner. Tattle on him. What do you want me to do about it? What do you think God's going to tell me? Now, let's have some input. What is God going to tell me to do? Get over it. Bear it. Give him dessert, too. Anything else God might tell me to do? Cook another meal. Confront him. Who's right? Who's right? Let's take a vote. Who's right? Oh, I love it. Now you're getting there. You're going to do what religion does right now. I'm going to go to scripture and find out. It says, if you take my coat, give him my cloak too. So you took my food? He can have it. Somebody said, do nothing about it. So I'm going to do nothing about it. Somebody said, give him dessert. I'm going to give him dessert. You're all right, but you're all wrong. Because the answer is, what do you want to say, God? Today he might say, do nothing about it. He might say, give him dessert. He might say, confront him. See, I don't know what God's going to say. That's what walking with him is about. You can't follow a pat rule. It's experiential living with him. Any man ask God's wisdom, he will give you wisdom liberally. But you must accept that wisdom. You can't be double-minded with it. So when I go and pray, he might say confront him. But if I'm just trying to be religious, I take a Bible truth and apply it without any wisdom. I'm just going to just give him my coat too and go buy him dessert. But God didn't tell me to. And I'm still offended. Because it was the flesh doing Christian works. But if I stop and ask him and then do obediently what he's doing, guess what happens? Life of God rises up in me and flows in the very thing I'm doing. God himself does it because it's what he wants to do. And it's alive. It's right now. And it's obeying the immediate. And I experience God. And my heart changes. My mind changes. And I go, wow, is he good? One time he says, do not give that girl any more money because I want her to know me and I'll tell her to come to me for the money. And I go and I tell her, I can't give you the money. God said so. You have to go tell God your need and let him meet it. So you know he's your hero. She tells God that. Her needs met within 30 minutes. She sees God. The next time somebody's knocking on my door, I need $50. And I'm going, I'm going to have to give it to them just so they can see God. I'm going to have to give it to them. I don't want to. I'm going to have to because I want to be obedient. And I go ask God. And he says, give it to them. Okay, God. When I pull that, not until. You see, grace follows obedience.
Right.
Grace is the desire and the will and the power to do what he wants you to do. That means God gets in it and does it. That's basically what it means. Once you obey, your heart just agreed with him. He rose up in you and changes your heart, gives you the ability to do it and the desire to do it. Not until you do it. Because I'm saying, I don't want him to give her the $50. I give it to her all the time. She's never even thankful. She never pays me back. I mean, there's no gratitude. Why should I have to support her? Why should I work and give her my money? All this grumbling is going on. God says, do it. Oh, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't feel any different about it. I don't feel any different about it. And I pull that out, and I put it in her hand.
Isn't that me?
And whew, I'm not exampling any real people guilty of anything, okay? If I pick you, it's because I don't think you're guilty. I wouldn't do that. He rises up in me when I obey. And maybe she just grabs it and doesn't even thank me. I don't even care anymore. Because this excitement of God got my heart, and I'm going, wow, that felt good. I just felt God again. I got to feel God again. I feel good. Because I feel God. You see, you can't base your walk with God on what you feel. Because feelings follow fact. Facts don't follow feeling. You live following your emotion, and you will be living in a ditch. Because one day, oh, I want to volunteer for everything. I'll teach Sunday school. I'll do this. I'll drive the bus. I'll do everything. And you wake up in the morning and go, why did I do that? I don't feel like it today. Man, yesterday God was good. Today he left. He left town and he left me here. And I don't feel God today. You're not going to feel God all the time because the just live by faith. Once your faith gets a hold of a truth, it's real funny how quick your feelings follow. I don't feel like getting out of bed. I just can't get up. Life is so hard. I wish I could go to heaven. I want to die. Spirit of depression. God, what do I do? Get out of bed? I can't get out of bed. Get out of bed. You're not going to feel like getting out of bed until after you get up. And you go, truth is, God said get out of bed. Well, I could probably go and get dressed. You move to the closet. Step by step as you're obeying, wham, all of a sudden, 30 minutes later, you're singing and dancing around the house going, woo, where'd that depression go? Life sprung up in you, but not until you obeyed. Not until you obeyed. Get truth. Obey. Get truth. Don't get it one time, and don't get it just from the Word. You've got to go to the Word. It's a white dog, black dog fight. If you feed the white dog, feed your spirit, you will gain life. If you feed your flesh, you will die. That dog will take over your emotions, your thoughts, everything. Got to read the Word. But you've got to walk in the Spirit. That's where you experience Him. Walking in obedience with Him is where the life springs up. The living waters rise up and they flow through you and they wash through you and they surge life through you when you walk with Him experientially every moment, every day. And none of us are there. There's all those moments we don't. But all the moments we do, life is springing up. I just want more of those moments. More of the yes moments. Some truths. Are you angry? When you journal today, I'm going to have you journal some truths. And I want you to look for scripture about that. And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to speak some truth to you about that. Are you angry? Soft answer turns away wrath. Are you afraid? Perfect love casts out fear. If you're walking with Him in complete trust, what is there to fear? But if you're not walking with Him, just leave it right there. Jesus said, I'm in the Father and He's in me. And the words I speak to you are His. Philippians 1:27 says, stand fast in one spirit. Stand fast in one spirit. That just jumped alive to me last week. Here we are with the Holy Spirit of God. And Paul said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. That devil is a stalker. He's a stalker. Every time you would do good, there he is. Just in the other ear, lying, deceiving, and tempting. Stand fast in one spirit. Make a choice. And stand in it. Are you going to stand fast in that spirit and trust Him no matter what? Because you're going to get tested. Because here's that stalking, trailing, traveling devil in your other ear trying to tell you lies about God. He doesn't care about you. He's not there for you. He lets something bad happen to you. Drink your Romans 8. All things work together for good to those that love God. Do you love Him? And are called according to His purpose. Are you called according to His purpose? You are created for His purpose. Of course you're called. So, all things work together for your good. The one spirit told you that. Is it true? Or is that lying devil who's telling you what's about to happen to you is not going to be good for you? He's a liar. And if you listen to him, well, if it were true, this would happen and God would do that and this can't be good for me because of this and because of that. And another lie, I've done this and that, and God hasn't blessed me. And another lie, I really can't help it. And you start walking in that spirit until He gets you so far from truth. And then He begins to say, why don't you just go get drunk? Why don't you just quit reading that Bible? It doesn't help you anyway. Why don't you just give up? And if He's got you far enough, He might say, why don't you just go kill yourself? Your life's worth nothing. See, the longer you walk in that spirit, the farther you get from truth that could set you free. Stand fast in one spirit. Make a choice no matter what happens. This is the spirit I believe. This is the spirit I trust. Get away, liar. Quickly, resist the devil and he will flee. Draw nigh unto God. Listen to truth. Choose to obey. Choose to obey Him. I want to feel what he feels. I want to think what he thinks. I love that song. I got to know. What are you thinking? What are you feeling? I got to know. How much do you want to know him? You don't have that hunger to know him. Either you haven't met him. Because, in my opinion, you can't really eat chocolate a few times and not want some more. Yeah, they used to have a potato chip thing that you can't eat just one. I can't. Can you eat one potato chip? There's something addictive about those things. You know, it's like you can't eat one. You can't even buy them. I mean, there's like, if they're in the house, that bag is just like Harvey says, eat me, eat me, eat me. Begging to be eaten. I can't have chocolate in my house. Janaya's so good at that. She can buy chocolate and put it in her freezer. And I go over there 3 months later, and she's eating one or two bites of it. Not me, man. I'm an addictive person. It's like I'm sitting watching TV, and I'm going, there's chocolate in the refrigerator. There's chocolate in the refrigerator, you know. You already had two, I know, but there's still some more. Well, just don't buy it and put it in my house. But I'm buying God and putting him in the house because he's addictive. Have you tasted of the Lord? He's addictive. He's got what I need. He's got what I crave. Man, I'm hungry for my healing. I'm hungry for truth. I'm hungry for love. I'm hungry for freedom. You know what I'm not hungry for anymore? Things of this world. I don't care. I know it's easy for me to say in your mind, I have a big house and two vehicles or three or whatever. I have clothes and jewelry that I could start my own boutique with. I know I have all that junk. I have it, but I don't care. When he has told me, when you have it, enjoy it. And when I say get rid of it, get rid of it. I sat at my table this morning and I said, oh, God, you can have it all. You can have all of it. I don't care. You want my necklace. I go get me one black shirt and one pair of black pants. Well, maybe two, because you really need to have something on when you wash. I don't like being naked. So I need a second outfit, so I'm wearing something while I wash the first one. I give me two pair of black pants and two black shirts and no jewelry, and I will sleep on the floor. And that took this morning. That I'm going to switch messages right now. He gave me two, and I didn't know what I was going to do. You might have to give me a time. I don't know why he gave me two messages today, and I hope you don't have to endure both of them. But if I keep talking and you get tired of listening, just leave me in here alone and get the tape and finish it later. The second message he gave me this morning, let's see if I can find it. I may not finish the first one. I don't know. We'll see. It is, it's in here. Lots of pages. There it is. Sell everything. Sell everything. This morning I sat there and I said, God, I'm so desperate for you. And I get it. Eternity means with you forever. With you. Here he is showing up this morning. All of his love is so good. He's just pouring this love on me. And I'm going, I just want to be with you forever. Your love is so indescribable. It's so, I mean, it's just coming inside of me like melting and lights that melt. And it's, I don't know how to describe it. It's so awesome. I don't want anything. I don't need anything but you forever, for eternity. Whatever's in this world doesn't matter. This is just like school. Who likes to stay in school? Come June, those kids are screaming, yay, school is out! This life is school. I can't wait till school's out and we really get to go to vacation. You know, woo, vacation, summer, heaven. This school is over. Let me out of the classroom. Freedom. And he said, what about your bed? Oh, wow. All these years I've said, take it all, God. You've taken it before. Take it again. I don't care. Tell me to give it to everybody that walks in the door. I don't care. I don't care. Just let me keep my bed. I really like to lay down in a comfortable bed. I mean, whatever. I know it's kind of big. If we had to go live in somebody's basement, could we get it in there? If we had, I don't talk about the frame. I mean the mattress. I just want to lay down at night after the end of whatever you do all day on a good mattress. And today he said, what about the bed? I went, oh my gosh, I'm still holding on to something in my heart, my stupid old bed. And you know, if he took it, all those reasons I need it would be gone. Why do I need that bed? Because I got a bad back, because I got bad knees. Because right now I have an injured rotator cuff. I can't lay on this arm. I can't lift this arm over my head. I literally have to get on my left side. Not directly on it because it hurts the arthritis in my hip. Lay slightly this way. Bring both hands up into a position like I'm a corpse in a body. And don't move. Bring one knee slightly forward because it hurts the other knee when it touches it. And if Harvey rolls over and touches my arm, I go, the arm. And my comfortable bed allows me just the right position so that I can sleep at night. I'm tired. Why do I need it? If I was told by the Lord, you're going to go sleep on the ground under a tree. Well, then he would just heal all those things.
Right.
He would put me to sleep like a baby in a soft leaf, Roxanne. See, I wasn't trusting him. I thought I needed that bed. What do you think you need? What do you think you need? We're at the time of year for garage sales. What do we do at garage sale time? We search every cupboard, every drawer. I mean, we just rip that house apart because we want to make a dollar, right? We rip that house apart to get rid of the junk and make some more money. Well, it's time to rip us apart. Go through every drawer, every closet, every cupboard, and let's get rid of the junk. When the rich man came to Jesus, maybe I won't preach it all. Maybe I'll just tell you this, and we'll save it for a sermon for Sunday. The rich man came to Jesus in Matthew 19. And this young man was trying to serve God. And he said, "Good master, what must I do to be saved?" Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? There's only one good, and that's God. Do you know who I am?" Secondly, he said, the young man, "What must I do?" Jesus said, "All the commandments. Do all the laws. Keep them all." And the young man, "Well, yeah, I didn't commit adultery. I don't steal. I love my neighbor. I'm doing it all. God, I tithe. I go to church. I am serving you. I've been good from the time I was a kid." And Jesus said, "One thing you lack. Go and sell everything you have and come follow me." One thing he had was money, riches. And he went away sad. You cannot serve God and money. You will love one and hate the other. You think you're loving God. He thought he was loving God. But when it came down to it, what do I trust in? Money. What do I need? Money. What do I love? My money. What is my security and safety in? My money. And that rich man went away sad. He didn't choose to know God. He didn't choose to follow him, to know him experientially and walk with him. He chose money. Did you ever notice the very next chapter? Because the disciples are saying, "Whoa, Jesus, you just said it's harder to put a camel through the eye of a needle than to get a rich man in heaven. So who can get saved?" Jesus said, "With men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. There are rich men who will be saved, but they don't love their money." And then he went on in the next story to flip the whole thing. This is what the kingdom of heaven's like. Now he goes after the penny. He goes after the guy with the penny. The rich man, or the master, he hired men to work in his field all day long for a penny. And they agreed. These are poor people. Who works all day for a penny? Other people came in the middle of the day, and he hired them and gave them a penny. At the end of the day, the ones who had worked all day, again, were into works, the works of poverty. They said, "We worked all day long for our penny, and they worked a half a day, and you gave them a penny. Not fair." The destruction of the poor is their poverty. You know why? Because they still love money. They still love their money. Jealousy. Why does he get more than me? I work harder than him. I deserve it more than him. It isn't fair. Still the love of money. The rich love their money and the poor love their money. But it's what they held on to in their heart. It's what they held on to in their heart. And God says it's time to have a heart sale today, not a garage sale. In your truth, let's have a heart sale. Let's search every door. What do you hold on to in your heart? What do you love? What do you need? What is your comfort? What is it you couldn't do, couldn't give up? What is it that causes you to fear? What is it? Throw it out there in that garage sale today and say, "Sell everything. Sell everything and go follow Jesus. Sell everything and come follow me. Sell it all. Just sell it all. Empty it out." First John 5:4 says, "Whoever is born of God." No, I got to back up. I'm going to give you the points quickly. The third point is your motive. John 14:15, he said, if you love me, if you love me. There's your motive. Total, sold out, hunger. I got to have him. I'm addicted. I love him. He's my everything. He is my life. He is my purpose. He is my motive. We've been going through court and forgiving, but I'm beyond forgiving them because I'm so mad at them. I care because he cares, but as far as I'm concerned, I don't care what you do to me anymore. I'm on this relationship. My heart is this relationship, staying in that one spirit, experiencing God, knowing God, loving God. I can't wait to get out of forgiving them, get into part two where I get forgiven, confess all my sin, because, man, I just want everything out of me to be sold for Jesus. I don't care about my rights. I don't care about my offense. I don't care about my time, my comfort, my everything. And I do care at the moment it's attacked. I'm choosing to give it up. I'm choosing to say no to that spirit. I'm too tired to do it. Well, Jesus isn't. If he said to do it, he's not too tired. Trust him a little bit. Just take a step. His energy will come up.
Right.
I'm tired of my excuses. Because I love him. Because I love him. What does love do? You know, the movies have portrayed it, girls. You know, you might as well tell your teenage daughters, don't watch those movies. Because they want to convince you that when you meet Mr. Right, all he's lived for is waiting to see you, and all he'll live for from now on is to please you. Not true. Guys, stop looking at outward beauty, because it fades as a leaf. Fades as a leaf. If you don't believe it, go watch some of Harvey's old black and white movies. Look at those young, gorgeous movie stars, and then look at them when they got older. Country singer, really, Randy Travis. He's got a song, Will You Still Love Me When I'm 60 something, when I'm old and when I don't have hair and all that kind of stuff. Are you still going to love me? I only heard it a couple times, so I don't know the word. You know it, don't you, Tom? No? Yeah? I don't know. Anyway, Janiah knew it. She loves country. But he's saying, I'm not in love with your hair. I'm in love with your heart. And the only aging that happens to a heart is more love. As it grows old, it grows bigger, softer, more tender, better. Fall in love with a heart. Don't fall in love with beauty, surface beauty. I'm addicted, and that's my motive. Are you addicted? Do you have to fill that craving? Are you so in love with him, you've got to get your God fix of his presence? Of knowing him flow through your life, because that's where you get to know him, experience him flowing through you. What is he going to do through you? He's going to do what he does. He's going to love other people. He's going to forgive them. He's going to give to them. He's going to lay down his life for them. How can we do that? How can we do that? You know, one way to do that, one way to do that is to look on the things of others, not only on your own things. That's in Philippians 2 or 3.
2 verse 4, I believe.
Look on their things. Put yourself in their place. Feel what they feel. Live their life for a minute instead of always looking out for you. Because God is like that. God is like that. That's what I want. That's my motive. That is my motive. 1 John 4:7 says, love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. God is alive in you. You're experiencing him. He that loves not knows not God. He that loves not is not experiencing God. Every time you don't love, you are experiencing the other spirit. No man has seen God, but if we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected, matured, completed in us. They go on to tell you how to know God. You can't see him with your eyes. You can't just sit down and say, come and let me feel you. You want to feel him, get up and let him live, and you'll feel him. Hereby we know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us his spirit. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. And therein is love made complete, perfect, so that as he is, so are we in this world. So are we in this world. Whoever is born of God, point four, overcomes. Overcomes this world. Here's your results. You will overcome the world. 1 John 5:4. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes Jesus is the Son of God? And we know, 5:20, that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding. In Luke 24:45, it said, he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Revelation. 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 We know that the Son of God has come and has given us a revelation that we might know him. A revelation that we might know him. And him that is true. And that we are in him that is true. Even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. This is eternal life. Not only a duration of life, but a quality of life that's living, lived in the Spirit of God. This is his glory. This is how his glory will cover the earth, him flowing out through us. So that is how you can know God and experience God. Wow, I brought both of them. I don't even know how long it was. But what I want you to do, get out a piece of paper. Get out a piece of paper and ask God for some truth. Ask him for some truth. And when he gives you that truth, ask him, what do you want you to do with it? I want some instruction with my truth.
What truth are you supposed to ask him for?
Whatever he wants to tell you. You're going to do a human garage sale today. Sell everything. What do I need to sell, God? What do I need to sell? In fact, let's make it a giveaway garage sale. We don't want to sell it to anybody because we don't want them to have it either. Let's make it a trash sale. Let's trash it. Big guy garbage can. Throw it away. Don't give it to somebody else and infect them. No, seriously, if he told you to give away your money, he did say, go give it to the poor because they need it. So you may not need something. He's saying get rid of. Somebody else may need it. I'm not just talking material. I'm talking about the things that own you inside. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would come like a great searchlight. You would search us, Lord, that you would reveal those things we need to get rid of, those things that are lies and deceptions and strongholds in us, that we might sell them all, that we might buy the great pearl of salvation. Just our walk with you, our obedience to you, our privilege to get to have you live in us, that we could experience you, addict us to your love. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
This is the air. With your love. Forever, you have. nothing. I ask of the Lord this one thing I seek, that I might dwell in your house, that I might gaze upon your beauty, Lord.